The scripture reading today is Proverbs 12:26 and then Proverbs 13:20. A righteous man is cautious in friendship, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. And 13:20 is, he who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. Thank you.
Back in March, four of us from Spinning Road went to a conference in Columbus called Making Friends, Making Disciples. And the conference challenged us to examine and to evaluate our friendships and to see the importance that they have in church life and in church growth. We use a word a lot that you don't hear very much outside the church, which is the word fellowship. Great word, I love the word. But all it really means is friendship. The friendship that we enjoy in church is unique and special, so that's why we use that special word, fellowship. But we are really just talking about Christian friendship. The longer that you are a Christian, and the longer that you're involved in church life, the more likely it is that most of your friends are also going to be Christians. That's only natural. But as we learned at the conference, there are different levels of friendship. Some friends are closer friends than others, isn't that right? They even had us rank our friendships, you know, according to who was in your inner circle of friends, you know, which they call the level one friends, as opposed to other friends who might be more level two, you know, not quite as close, or level three, or even level four. And it was not recommended that you share that ranking with anyone, or you might lose some of those friends. But it's certainly true, isn't it, that all friendships are just not the same. Even Jesus had some friends that were closer to him than others. And there's nothing wrong with that. As we've been talking about evangelism in our church, we've been challenging you to reach out to the people that you know and to share Jesus with them and to invite them to church and invite them to come to the Lord. But the reality is, as we've all been finding out, if you have been a Christian for a long time, most of the people that you know and who you would consider friends are already Christians. You're either already here in church or they're in church somewhere else. And so the challenge becomes not so much to reach out to your inner circle of friends, which you can only have a few of anyway. I mean, you can only be close friends to so many people. It's not possible to have a lot of people that you consider your closest friends. And the speaker said you only really have two or three people in that inner circle of friends, and maybe up to 20 people in levels two and three that are still close friends, but not as close as those inner circle. But he also said, you could handle up to 150 people in that outer circle of friends. Now, people that you know their name, you say hi to when you see them, you talk about things that you have in common, but who you may not necessarily socialize with or share all your secrets and your problems with. And so the challenge for us as a church is to be able to reach out to that outer circle of friends and to do what we can to increase that outer circle of friends so that there will be more people that we know and more people that we can share Christ with and more people that we can invite to church and invite to know the Lord. But when you truly need a friend, that person that you can confide in, person that you just feel comfortable hanging out with and doing things with, then it is important to choose wisely who those friends might be. And you can only expect to really have just a few of those kinds of friends. Remember hearing a song for the first time back in the 90s by a group called the Rembrandts. And I liked it because it reminded me of Seals and Crofts, which is a group from the 70s that I liked a lot. And I'd never heard the song before, and so you're going to laugh at me when you realize how uninformed I was. But the words to the song were this. So no one told you life was going to be this way. Your job's a joke. You're broke. Your love life's DOA. It's like you're always stuck in second gear when it hasn't been your day, your week, your month, or even your year. But I'll be there for you when the rain starts to pour. I'll be there for you like I've been there before. I'll be there for you because you're there for me too. Of course, most of you know that's the theme song to the TV show Friends. I had never seen the show when I first heard that song. I heard of the show. I knew that it was popular, but I never connected it to that song. Well, now that that show was syndicated and it's on reruns in just about every other channel you turn on, I have seen the show. I at least know who Ross and Rachel are. Now, by no means do I endorse this show or recommend that you watch it, But I'm guessing most of you have seen it too, or at least you've heard about it. It's about six friends who are, as the song says, they're there for one another. And even though I cannot endorse the lifestyles of the characters on the show, or their language, or their habits, or their topics of the shows, I do understand why the show was so popular, and why it just seemed to strike a nerve with the American public. It's a popular show even today on reruns. Everybody watches it because it often reveals how significant and beneficial true friendship is. The show reveals that most people want what the characters on that show are portrayed as having, a circle of friends who will be there for them, no matter what, even when the rain starts to pour. Today we're going to talk about our relationship to our close friends, those friends in that inner circle that we allow to influence us, and that we dare to share our feelings with, and our problems, and our dreams. Our study on Wednesday nights in the book of Proverbs has shown me that this book in the Bible says a lot about friendships, among many other things, and about the kind of friend that we should look for and the kind of friend that we should be. Proverbs teaches us that there's more to friendship than just being acquainted with someone or just socializing with someone. Proverbs offers an exalted view of friendship that goes beyond just surface-level camaraderie to a deeper level where we share our hearts and our lives with one another. Solomon said in Proverbs 18:24, "A man of many companions comes to ruin, but there is a friend that sticks closer than a brother." So just having mere companions is not enough. To make it through life, we need to have that close, heart-to-heart, inner circle friendships. So today we will look at two aspects of friendship: how to choose a friend and how to be a friend. And again, when I talk about friendship, I'm not referring to those that you're just acquainted with or you might periodically socialize with, but I'm referring to those that you bring into that inner circle of your life, those that you share your heart with, and those who know you and you know them inside out. Proverbs tells us that we should be careful about the kind of person that we become that kind of friends with. As Ellen read for us in 12:26, "A righteous man is cautious in friendship." Now let's say you own your own company and you want to hire an assistant, you know, someone second in command to help you run the business. Well, what kind of person would you hire? Remember, this is someone that you're going to allow to have access to your money, who's going to represent you and your company in public, who's going to help you make strategic decisions regarding the future of your business. So what kind of person are you going to look for to hire? You know, just anyone who walks in off the streets and puts in an application? I'm sure you wouldn't do that. You look for someone who has character and wisdom and discretion and ability and experience, right? Well, when it comes to choosing friends, who's going to be that inner circle in your life, it's kind of like you're hiring someone to be your right-hand man, so to speak, or you're signing on to be his or her right-hand man. Or maybe I should say right-hand person, but that doesn't sound right. But anyway, this is the person whose advice you're going to seek and a person that you're going to turn to in times of trouble, person that you're going to share your good times with and who you're going to learn from and who you might be able to teach. You don't approach the task of choosing such friends lightly. You must, as Solomon recommended, exercise caution. Now, this kind of goes against what you may have been taught, and I've been taught most of my life. When I was young, I was told, you know, to have a friend, be a friend, or to be a friend to the friendless. It sounds like pretty good advice, but actually when you think about it, maybe it's not such great advice. If a person doesn't have any friends, maybe there's a reason for that. Maybe other people have tried to be their friend and they have paid dearly for it. Maybe this person is the kind of person who's going to talk about you behind your back and is going to borrow money from you and never pay you back, or break your tools if you let them use them, or try to steal your spouse, or just drain your emotional reserves with their endless problems that they expect you to solve for them. And maybe bringing such a person into your life is nothing less than an invitation for misery. Now, I'm not saying that that person is important. He or she is to God and should be to you. I'm not saying you shouldn't try to reach out to such people and to help them. Of course you should. You should give them your time and your attention. You should be kind to people like that and try to influence them to lead a better life, to live for the Lord and to develop integrity. But I'm saying that you should be careful about inviting that person into your inner circle. We're to be friendly to everyone. We're to show the love of Jesus to everyone. But we can be selective in who you share your heart with. Choosing a friend in many ways is almost like choosing your mate. You know, therefore, in choosing a friend, you should try to choose a certain kind of person. And in being a friend, you should strive to be that certain kind of person. So that's what we'll look at now, the kind of friend that you want to have and the kind of friend that you need to be. So the three characteristics of a good friend that we find in the book of Proverbs. First of all, a friend hurts when you hurt. Solomon said in 17:17, "A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." Think of the people that you consider your closest friends. When they hurt, do you hurt? When you hurt, do they hurt? Or maybe it's just something they sympathize with, and then when you're out of the picture, so is your problem. And if that's the case, they're not really that inner circle of friends. And then the question you must ask, am I the kind of person that that person could turn to in times of trouble, knowing that my response is going to be one of love and support? Former Chicago Tribune columnist Bob Green wrote about such a friend. He writes, "When during an already painful juncture in my life, my wife died, I was so numb that I felt dead myself. In the hours after her death, as our children and I tried to figure out what to do next, how to get from hour to hour, the phone must have been ringing, but I have no recollection of it. The next morning, one of those mornings when you awaken, blink to start the day, and then, a dispiriting second later, realize anew what has just happened and feel the boulder press you against the earth with such weight that you fear you will never be able to get up, the phone rang, and it was Jack. I didn't want to hear any voice, even his voice. I just wanted to cover myself with darkness. I knew he would be asking if there were anything he could do, but I should have known already that he'd already done it. 'I'm in Chicago,' he said. 'I took the first flight this morning. I know you probably don't want to see anyone,' he went on. 'That's all right. I've checked into a hotel, and I'll just sit here in case you need me to do anything. I can do whatever you want, or I can do nothing.' He meant it. He knew the best thing he could do was to be present in the same town to tell me he was there. And he did just sit there. I presumed he watched TV or did some work, but he waited until I gathered the strength to say I needed him. He helped me with things no man ever wants to need help with. Mostly, he sat with me and knew I did not require a conversation, did not welcome chatter, did not need anything beyond the knowledge he was there. He brought food for my children, and by sharing my silence, he got me through those days." A friend hurts when you hurt. But what this verse is also saying, a friend loves at all times and a brother is born for adversity, is not only that you show love when somebody has gone through a bad time and something bad has happened and they're hurting, but also that when that person has messed up and he's hurting because of that, that you still show love to that person. A verse in Job emphasizes this as well. Job said in Job 6:14, "A despairing man should have the devotion of his friends, even though he forsakes the fear of the Almighty." Whoever your friends are, they won't be perfect. They're going to mess up. They're going to make mistakes. Sometimes they'll make huge mistakes, stupid mistakes. And at that time, more than any other time in their life, they need a loyal friend, the kind of friend who says, "Even if you go off the deep end and you run away from God, I'm going to hang in there with you until you come to your senses." So when you're choosing friends, you need to ask yourself, does this person have the capacity for this kind of loyalty? And you need to ask yourself, am I willing to do this for my friends? If your friend gets into trouble, you don't have to endorse everything they've done. You don't have to support their actions. You don't have to admire everything about them, but you can be there for them so they don't have to suffer alone. A friend hurts when you hurt. Secondly, a friend will say what needs to be said. You ever saw the movie Stand By Me? You might remember the closing comment. I was reminded of that this week. That I guess the guy who sang that song passed away this week. But you might remember the closing comment of that movie when the narrator said, "You never really have friends like you do when you're 12 years old." And in many ways, that's true, isn't it? Because 12-year-olds can say just about anything to each other, especially boys. I don't know so much about girls, but boys, I've been there, I remember that. You just say anything. It doesn't really matter, not if you're really friends. "Oh, dude, you stink. Get some deodorant." And that's just what happens. Boys that age can be brutally honest with each other. But that's the mark of a true friendship. A friend will say to you what needs to be said, even if it hurts a little bit. Now, with maturity and wisdom, a person develops a little more tact and kindness than the typical 12-year-old boy has. And those necessary words to a friend can be delivered in a way where the intention is clear that you want to help, not to hurt. But too often, this is an element of friendship that gets lost as we get older. because we just don't want to make waves, or we've lost that sense of trust between our friends, or we fear losing a precious friendship. But a true friend will tell you the truth, even if it hurts. That's why Solomon said in 27:6, "Wounds from a friend can be trusted, but an enemy multiplies kisses." Pastor Steve May is also a fledgling songwriter, and he writes of something that once happened to him. He says, "A few of my songs have appeared on a few albums. Each year when I get my royalty check, I blow the whole thing on a trip to McDonald's." "When I first started writing at the age of 19, I began approaching publishers in Nashville about using my songs. I remember one in particular. I got into his office and played my demo. As he listened, he kept saying, 'These are good. We can do something with these. I think you've got something here.' He was friendly, charming, and encouraging. When the meeting was over, he said, 'Leave your tape and your phone number, and I'll get back with you.' I left his office on cloud nine, convinced that my songwriting career was about to blast off. A few days later, I dropped by his office again and asked the receptionist if I could see him. Their office building was small, so she stepped into the hall and said in the direction of his office, 'Steve May wants to talk to you.' He said with a tone condescension, 'Tell Steve I only talk to people with talent.' He paused and said, 'Oh, what line is he on? I'll get rid of him myself.' She said, 'He's not on the phone. He's in the lobby.' There was a long pause, and he said, 'Then tell him I'm busy.' I left his office absolutely crushed. Not because he said I didn't have talent. I'd already heard that before. I was crushed because he had been so friendly during our first meeting. He pretended to be my buddy. He said such nice things. He acted like he wanted to help my career, and he didn't mean a word of it." Solomon's words are true. An enemy multiplies kisses, but the wounds of a friend can be trusted. This means someone who isn't your friend is going to say whatever is easiest to say at the time. And haven't we all been there? Just whatever will get us through the situation, we'll say it because that person isn't close to us and it doesn't really matter to us that much. But a true friend will be honest enough to say whatever really needs to be said. Now, I don't want to give the impression that a friend only says negative things. Usually, most of the time, what needs to be said to a friend are those positive things. Things that maybe nobody else is saying to that person that he or she really needs to hear. A friend offers encouragement and support. A friend builds up confidence and says things to do so. A friend can be counted on to give worthwhile and uplifting advice. Solomon said in 27:9, "The pleasantness of one's friend springs from his earnest counsel." So when choosing friends, you need to ask yourself, is this a person I can turn to for counsel? Does this person have the capacity to say what really needs to be said? And you need to ask yourself, am I willing to be that kind of a friend? A friend says what needs to be said out of a desire to help and not to hurt. And then thirdly, a friend will bring out the best in you. Solomon warns us to be cautious in choosing friends because your friend's character rubs off on you. He said in 22:24, "Do not make friends with a hot-tempered man. Do not associate with one easily angered, or you may learn his ways and get yourself ensnared." The people that you choose to share your life with have the ability to influence you, and so make sure that you share your life with people of good character. How many times have you heard that phrase, "He just got mixed up with the wrong crowd and went on a road to destruction because of that"? It happens too many times. Now, like it or not, we tend to be kind of chameleons. We tend to act like the people that we associate with. And sooner or later, we tend to take on their values and their behaviors. In the book of 1 Corinthians, Paul warns us in chapter 15:33, "Do not be misled. Bad company corrupts good character." So whoever you become close to and whoever you allow to be in that inner circle of your life is going to have an influence on your life. So seek out friends who can bring out the best in you. As Solomon said in chapter 27:17, "As iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another, or another woman sharpens another." Two of the best quarterbacks to ever play football were John Elway and Dan Marino, who started their career just about the same time. And it's interesting that two of John Elway's best seasons were the last 2 years of his career, and two of Dan Marino's worst seasons were the last 2 years of his career. And both men were exceptional quarterbacks and athletes, but you know, the difference between them was is that both got new coaches toward the end of their careers. John Elway and his new coach were best friends. But Dan Marino and his new coach didn't even like each other. Elway finished his career with a bang and won two Super Bowls. But unfortunately for Marino, even though he was an incredible quarterback, he finished his career with a pretty big thud. And both men had admitted that the relationship with their coach made the difference. Now, neither of those men could choose their coach, but we can choose our friends. So choose friends that make you sharp. Choose friends with qualities that you admire and qualities that you want to see in your own life. And their character will ultimately rub off on you. As Ellen also read for us in chapter 13:20, he who walks with the wise grows wise, but a companion of fools suffers harm. So I hope today's message will help inspire you in a couple of different ways. First of all, if you don't have close friends, if you don't have that inner circle, I hope you'll begin to seek out people that you can share your life with, people of wisdom and of character and of compassion. I hope that you'll be selective in choosing those friends. It's okay to be. Now, as far as that outer circle, be inclusive there. Include everybody that you can to reach out to. But that inner circle are people that you have the right and the responsibility to choose wisely about. And if you're involved in friendships that are dragging you down, people influencing you in a negative way, then I hope that you will actually learn to distance yourselves from those relationships, at least until you're in a position to be a positive influence on them. And then you can bring them to a higher level of living as a follower of Christ. And then secondly, I hope that today's message will inspire you to examine the kind of friend that you are to others. You see, more than likely, God has already put people in your life who need and deserve your friendship. But they need you to be the best kind of friend that there is. They need you to hurt when they hurt. They need you to say what needs to be said in a way that helps them to become better. And you need to bring out the best in them. And if you become that kind of person, if you're willing to be that kind of friend, then it won't be long until you find yourself involved in friendships that will be rewarding for the rest of your life. Well, the best friend that any of us can have is Jesus Christ, because he does all of this for us and more. He hurts when we hurt. He sympathizes with our weaknesses, the Bible tells us. He knows what you're going through, and he goes through it with you. And you can know that. Whatever you're going through, Jesus is right there beside you every day, all the time. And Jesus says what needs to be said to us. If you just read his word, there are times he just nails you right in the head. And there are times that he encourages you and uplifts you and helps you. And of course, if you know Jesus Christ and his spirit has indwelled you, then he helps you to become the best that you can be. He gives you his divine nature. And what more could you ask of that? If you'd like to know him, not only as your personal Savior who died to forgive your sins, but as your personal friend who will be with you, walk with you day by day, won't you come to him today and ask him into your life?